there. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly discussion on antidepressants and the issues surrounding them.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly podcast discussing antidepressants and mental health. A little later, I'll be going through some of your feedback. Thanks so much for getting in touch. But first, we have an interview with Tina. Tina talks about her experiences with depression and her use of antidepressant medications over several years. She describes how a change in medication led to her withdrawal problems. Tina, thank you so much for talking to us today. Can I start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be taking an antidepressant?
I can. I was in my late 30s. It was around 1997, and I had two children. I was in my second marriage, and I was working in a family business with my brother. Very stressful. One day, I just particularly felt explosive, didn't know what to do with myself, got in the car, and I was quite a hazard, really. Decided I needed to pull up and do something about it. Went to see my mum. She took me straight to my GP. He described my problem as flat battery syndrome. The happy hormone serotonin wasn't getting where it should be. Take the tablets, a little bit of rest, I'd be fine. There was no addiction problems, no withdrawal problems like there used to be with the old type of drugs. So happily, I started to take them. Yeah, I did feel as though after a couple of weeks, I was calming down and cracking on.
And how did you feel about being prescribed an antidepressant? Did you worry about side effects, or did you just accept your doctor's advice?
I wasn't worried at all, because my mum had suffered with, as she called them, nerves in her day. And she'd been on a long-term tablet. And, you know, it was something I was used to, that you took a tablet to make you better. And, you know, I just thought this new drug would make me better. I was quite happy to go for it, you know, thinking that it was the best thing for me.
And were there discussions with your doctor about side effects or what would happen at the end of treatment?
None at all. You know, I really did think this was going to be a wonder drug, because the way it was put to me was it would help boost my serotonin in my brain. The happy hormone would make me feel better and crack on with my life, you know. So, okay. No, there was no warning at all.
Can you tell us what happened next?
Yeah, I sort of carried on for years with repeat prescription, basically. I think I saw my GP maybe twice, but that was to find out that I also was developing underactive thyroid and I needed a hysterectomy. So there was things going on hormonal and health-wise. So when I was having sort of bad feelings and not good and depressed again on the tablets, I just thought it was the other health conditions that were kicking in. This carried on for probably about 6 years. And then the business that I was in with my brother suddenly folded, money problems, etc. And I became so bad that I went back to the GP, because I was feeling kind of numb but distraught at the same time. I was feeling very strange, and he said that he thought I had anxiety problems now, not depression. Suggested paroxetine as a alternative to the fluoxetine, and I was happy to make a change, thinking that, you know, perhaps it had worn out over the years. I'd been taking it so long. So quite happily changed over. I don't remember how the change went. I presume I must have gone every other day for a tablet for a while and then started with the Ceroxat, but it was quite a normal sort of change onto the Ceroxat. And I did feel better. I didn't feel so flat. I began to feel waves, peaks and troughs. You know, I thought, oh, I'm feeling a little bit again. This is obviously working. And the anxiety did reduce.
And during that time, did you increase your dosage or change your medication?
Last year, in September 2016, my ex-husband passed away and I hit a wall. I'm happily remarried, but I've never clapped ties on him since it all went wrong, and I had a son to him, and it just affected me so badly. I'd also had bouts of severe depression over the last 2 years of taking the paroxetine. I would hedgehog, as I called it. I just couldn't face the world and would go into these deep, dark, suicidal thoughts. I took counselling, which helped immensely. And just sort of thought, okay, this is just normal life pressures. My thyroid's playing up maybe. But this depression that hit me when my ex-husband passed away in September last year was devastating. So straight to the GP thinking, what can I do? What can I do? He just took one look at me and said, maybe we can help by putting you on a different antidepressant. Maybe this one isn't working for you so well. We can perhaps change you to a citalopram, which is a lot kinder, were his words. He gave me a 2-week window to reduce the paroxetine, which I thought was fine. He knew what he was doing. And he just said, half a tablet for 1 week and then a quarter of a tablet the next week and start the citalopram, which obviously I took the prescription and home I came. And that's when all hell broke loose, really.
Can you tell us what it was like for you having to change between antidepressants?
So the first week, I half the tablets. And in that first week, I actually wrote my feelings down because it was all so foreign to me. And although I was describing this to other people, I think they just thought I was getting the flu or I was becoming unwell. I started with a morning sickness feeling, like a queasy feeling. And then I started with a very strange taste in my mouth, almost like metallic. My ears started to buzz and I had tinnitus and my dreams became nightmares. You know, I was quite afraid sometimes to go to sleep. But I just thought, okay, you know, I'll crack on, and didn't even think it could be the reduction because there was no mention by the GP that reducing would give me anything other than, you know, maybe a little wobble. You know, he just said you may need a little bit of help, but that was all he said. So the first week I wasn't feeling well, but I can't actually describe this in any other way than say I was not depressed. The overall darkness seemed to be lifting, but I still felt physically ill. So that's what kept me going. I thought, right, crack on. Got through the first week, not great, but okay. When I came to half the 10 down to a 5, I started to get pain, physical pain. I was also crying quite easily to music, which I found now I could hear music and it evoked emotion. I would laugh at something and become almost hysterical. And it was almost foreign to me to hear myself laughing. So the sickness became more prevalent. I was actually vomiting by now with pain, what appeared to be in my liver. It felt as though my liver was aching and also, unfortunately, diarrhea as well. So tummy bug, I've got a tummy bug, you know, trying to work. But at this point, I became so dizzy and I'd suffered with vertigo years ago. I thought, oh dear, I'm getting vertigo as well. So I didn't drive. I was feeling sick. I had stomachache, not sleeping too well. And then I began to feel as though there was something really wrong with me. I think, you know, I've been poisoned. I felt as though something was killing me from the inside out. And that sounds really severe, but that's how scary it was. So I carried on sort of for the next couple of 3 days because it didn't take long for these more severe symptoms to kick in after I'd gone down to 5 as well. That was the scary thing. It happened very quickly. Feel sick all the time. I'd got this sort of, I think they describe it as a brain fog. Couldn't sort of coordinate things. It was then that the zaps came, the electrical shocks that went through not just my head, my whole body. And I had one so severe one night, I woke up and I was so scared. I just sat in bed with the lamp on. My husband, I left him asleep at the side of me because I just didn't move all night because I was so, I just didn't know what it was. I thought, I'm having a hemorrhage in the brain. And so I actually straight onto Google at this point, because I'm not a big believer in researching illnesses. I just typed in paroxetine withdrawal and, well, I was just overwhelmed. I cried and cried and cried and I sat there for almost a day just trying to find some answers to what had happened to me.
It must have been very alarming to suddenly find all this information online that you previously weren't aware of. What happened next?
After a couple of days, it wasn't quite so severe. And I thought, oh, I'm coming through this. I might get in the car and drive. Tried to go to work. But as soon as I got dressed ready for work, got to the door and I just broke down. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go out of the house. So at that point, I contacted my GP surgery because I didn't drive. And a nurse practitioner rang me. And she just said, oh, never mind. This is to be expected. Stop your quarter of a tablet at the end of the week and start your citalopram. So I thought, wow, this sounds crazy, you know. So I cracked on for a couple of days, and this one particular morning I just thought I needed to go to the hospital. I thought, I'm dying, there's something severely wrong with me, I'm going crazy. By now my thoughts were so out of control. I was going to be sectioned, I was frightened of that, because people were just seeing me sort of out of control emotionally. And I sat for a whole day sort of thinking, right, I'm going to ring the GP, I'm going to get sectioned, I'm going to do this. Picked up the phone to ring the doctor, could only speak through sobs. He gave me a phone appointment. I told him how scared I was and that I was absolutely at my wit's end. You know, I needed some help. I'd got nowhere to go. I also said that I've heard of people coming off a class A drug that have had more support than I've had from this. And I now know this is a withdrawal from an antidepressant. He didn't deny that. He just said, get on the citalopram. To be honest, it nearly choked me to do it as well, because I so wanted to just kick the whole thing and be clean. I felt as though I wanted to just be, but I could not stand the physical symptoms. Couldn't take it anymore. My husband went to the chemist, got the prescription. I nearly choked taking the first tablet. He was like trying to get it down. But within 24 hours, the symptoms were slightly better. I did feel there was some kind of improvement. And I think I've been lucky here, because to cut a long story short, I'm still on the 10 milligrams of citalopram.
And can I ask, what support did you get from your doctor during this changeover?
I had one call from my GP in the last, well, it was November when I started the citalopram. I've had one call in 3 months to see how my mood was, which I said was fine, because through all this, I am not depressed. I can't believe it. I do know the difference between a low mood and depression, and the depression has gone, and it's weird. Although the physical side, it's still there, particularly when I'm stressed or I'm tired, you know, I can just flip back into this sort of mild withdrawal thing. My temperature still spikes sometimes. Dizziness is one of my main symptoms, and tinnitus. I do intend to go to see the GP. I would love to be able to taper, as I know now, on the 10% method to rid myself of the antidepressants.
And Tina, was there any other support that you were using during this time?
Yes, there was. I was very lucky. I was very lucky to be able to afford to see a counsellor. Through the years of being depressed, or as I call it now, suppressed, occasionally I have used counselling, talk therapy, because I do find for me it was a relief just to have an hour to myself to be able to say exactly what I wanted to say. And I was seeing a counsellor regarding the death of my ex-husband and the bad summer I'd had with depression. And she was so good to me and just was there for me. And that did help. Yes, it did help. So I was very lucky to be able to get that.
And can I ask, if you had a friend who was considering withdrawing from an antidepressant and came to you for advice, what would you say to them?
My advice would be research, look into what you've been given, and go down the avenue of the counselling and talk therapies or cognitive behavioural. There's lots of therapies out there. I'm not an expert, but as a last resort, you know, I'm not saying these tablets don't help people, because I know several people who are on them and would never stop taking them. But knowing what I know now, I would have tried anything other than take a tablet.
And finally, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just think that there should be more awareness. There should be more information. The same old thing, the GPs, the people who we go to and trust with our healthcare, are not informed. I don't think they deliberately want to make us go through these horrible things, but they're not informed. And the information needs to be out there for us to get the support we need when we're going through it. No one seemed to know, apart from me, amongst my family and friends, who, as I say, I've got lots of family and friends that are on antidepressants, but none of them are aware of this, like I was not aware of it. And I do think anything we can do to spread the word that there are consequences to taking the drugs, and, you know, just try and sort of teach people, if I think that's the word, inform as much information as possible out there. Like you say, if it takes talking to you, or I'll do anything to help. I don't mind at all. And I'm not ashamed of my, I don't hide the fact that I've had this problem. I've had depression. I've never been ashamed of it. It's a condition, you know, and hopefully at some point, maybe for children and our children's children, that message will get out there.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Tina. You've been great.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Feedback.
Thank you so much for your messages and for sharing your thoughts, feedback and stories with me. And I'd like to share a couple of those messages with you. Firstly, I received this email. Thanks, James and Susie. Great podcast. I withdrew from sertraline over 4.5 months starting in October last year. I had a horrendous time on first citalopram and then sertraline and found that the medical professionals are completely unaware of some of the horrific side effects that accompany these drugs and how important it is to taper very slowly. I used a combination of kinesiology and hypnotherapy to ease my anxiety and help me calm my subconscious after it was completely fried by a 6-month journey on antidepressants. I also took natural supplements from the Road Back program to assist my taper and nurtured my brain with strong doses of omega-3 EPA oil and other important trace elements such as zinc and magnesium. I have learned a huge amount along the way and think your series is so valuable in helping people understand the impact that these drugs have and what support is out there to come off them safely and who is able to help people wanting to stop psychoactive drugs. Thanks once again. Well, thank you so much for that. And also, I wanted to share this feedback with you taken from the website survivingantidepressants.org. James, I just wanted to tell you that I find myself looking forward each week to the next podcast, and when you add additional ones in the off cycle, I feel like I'm getting a little bonus. One of my routines at work is to get up from my desk in the mid-morning and take a walk for about 15 minutes. It's a good way to get a little sunshine and exercise and break the routine of sitting at the computer. It's my practice to listen to a podcast when I take that walk, and you're providing me with good material for my walk, so I thank you for that. Many people are suffering and angry, but you're channeling that into something positive. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to write in and to feedback. I'm really grateful to you. And I just wanted to take this opportunity also to thank everyone who's got in touch so far and also to thank you for listening in. Finally, if you're struggling with withdrawal yourself and don't know where to turn, there are some excellent resources listed on my website, jfmoore.co.uk. Please go and have a look.
Please do not increase, decrease, or stop your psychoactive prescription medication without the advice and support of a medical or mental health professional.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Please come back for another episode next week. And until then, take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal. Come back next week for more news and views. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and subscribe in iTunes.